stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 182 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week. Recording this 26th of April 2021. Joined by my co-host up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. How are you going this week?
I'm on the mend. I had a pretty rough week last week with gastro, which pretty much flattened me. So back feeling normal, but if we had to record last sort of Wednesday, Thursday, I reckon I would have been a scratching.
Be a no-show. No good at all. Julian Spence, you'll also join us this week, as usual, down on the Surf Coast, 214 man. Welcome to this week's show.
Thank you, mate. I'm going good. I'm a bit poppier than you two blokes.
Yeah, I also got hit with the old gastro, the old childcare gastro we're calling it, aren't we, Croaks? That's where it comes from.
Yeah, I've been trying to rack my brain as to where I may have caught it, and not 100% sure. Possibly Lily, even though she hasn't been as sick as I was, but she did have an upset stomach a little bit down the coast last Saturday, but didn't seem sick with it.
A bed when you went up there, Brady?
Man, Croaks, no. Well, this kind of hit a week and a bit after. Anyone else from those beers afterwards, Brad, come down with it?
No. I think like the incubation period though for gastro, it's like 24 to 48 hours. So yeah,
I reckon mine could have been food poisoning, to be honest. Mine was pretty short, sharp, bang, just knocked me around for 24 hours.
That sounds a bit more like food poisoning, whereas I think gastro is at least a couple of days normally.
What do you eat, Brady? Any suspicious things?
Yeah. Microwave dinners?
No microwave dinners, but I did go to the bakery. I was on the pram, actually, on Thursday, the night I got hit by it, and I remember having this like sweet chili chicken wrap. And it was a bit slimy. I reckon that's what got me. I won't say the name of the bakery on here, but if you live in Moama, there's one or two it could possibly be.
Oh, you got to look after the people here, mate. This is a safety issue.
Yeah, no, I'm not throwing anyone under the bus here. I don't know if it's
confirmed. It wasn't a bowling club, was it?
Definitely not a bowling club. You're always good meals at the bowling club. Thanks to the Moama Bowling Club sponsoring episode 182 of the Inside Run Podcast. Who's wrapping through their week? Moose, you want to go first? You did the most running.
Yeah, well, that's a bit strange that I ended up doing the most running because I had a pretty weird week. I started on Monday in the morning, ran with...
Actually, I'd have ran more K's than you, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
You want to go first then?
No, I won't go first.
No, maybe you should because you've run the most Ks.
Oh, is that how we judge it now? I thought the slowest marathon I went last. Wasn't that what you said?
That's true. That is true.
You go first. Yours is more interesting. I didn't
do respect. Much. Let's respect tradition here.
Yeah.
I ran like about 12K on Monday morning. I've made a caption like, surface pumping, so I just wanted to check where we ran. Oh, down in Aries Inlet, yeah. So there's been this, like, lately in Victoria anyway, the swell down here has just been out of control big with really favorable winds, like offshore winds as well. It's so whenever I go running, normally we take in some point of the coast, and this, like, the surf's been as big as I've ever seen it. It's incredible.
Don't they call it gnarly swells? Isn't that the right terminology down there?
Yeah, I would gnarly? Say. Well, gnarly relates to some degree of like danger or extreme. Oh, okay. So, but you would say that these are like not like it's not gnarly at the quiet protected beaches, but some of the areas are quite gnarly. And so we run past the lighthouse down here, the Split Point Lighthouse at Aries Inlet, and the swell coming in on that point was huge on this day. Like there were a few times Ali and I stopped and just watched it. A lot of surfers out.
Moose, do you ever say death on a stick out there, mate?
Oh, mate, you know what I said death on a stick about? Fucking my Sunday long run running up the highway. I'm like, this is death on a stick. I've got to go down a side road.
The old Point Break reference for those that aren't aware.
I actually made a few. I'm like, this is the 50-year storm at the moment. Because it actually is. And we're next to Bell's Beach, you know. 50-year bell storm, death on a stick out there. They're not going to paddle to New Zealand.
That was good, Moose.
I've watched that movie like 150 times.
So. Yeah, I like it too.
Have you watched the second one?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I haven't watched that. I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
A bit more adrenaline junkie sort of.
It doesn't have Johnny Utah, surely.
No.
Well, that's really disappointing.
Anyway, carry on.
You two got excited about that, didn't you?
Well,
yeah, it's a good movie.
Good movie from
my younger days.
Excellent movie. Even had a sex scene in there.
The highlight for me, though, was Moose about, what am I going to do, paddle New Zealand? Really good.
Very good. Anyway. So I finished that run. You know, I've had this bad knee lately, so I decided to make an appointment to see the sports doctor. Well, I'd already seen him last week, and then he'd referred me for an MRI. So I had my MRI on Thursday up in Melbourne, and then the results had come through. So I was in to see him Monday afternoon. I probably should read the exact results rather than try to sort of butcher it.
This is the one that flared up on the week of Hobart Half Marathon.
Yeah, like basically, work. Exactly. Couldn't even walk basically that day, and then got around to running, but it wasn't nice. So this was the number one thing that like they found like the most aggressive thing, and it's sort of what the sports doctor related to that whole locking up and also the pain and clicking I've been getting lately. So it said advanced patellofemoral chondral ulcer on a background of patellofemoral displacement with full thickness defect of the lateral patella and trochlear surfaces with underlying marrow edema and further full thickness partially undermined ulcer at the medial patella surface.
Oh, sounds like you're fine.
Yeah, so there's about six other things it lists. However, this was the main thing, and I think it refers to, from what I understand, it refers to like a big tear in the cartilage, and that tear creates like almost like a flap of cartilage that struggles to move smoothly in the joint, and then there's a lack of cartilage, so basically it's a little bit more bone on bony in the joint, which has created some edema in the bone, which is like inflammation of the knee. Anyway, that was the conclusion from the MRI, and then the chat with the doctor was about what we can do in the short term to see me through training. This is more of a surgical kind of fix, so I do need to sort of get that at some point, but in the short term we sort of manage it with less hills, some strength work. It might still give me pain. Like I basically haven't run without pain following a run since Hobart, but I can get through most runs now without any pain or awareness of the knee, which is a really like big positive. So I'm taking that. And so basically I was there for the appointment. He said, what we can do is we can give it a cortisone injection, try to get rid of some inflammation in there. The only risk for this is that it doesn't work, or you get it like an infection, which is a really low risk. So there's nothing really that can go wrong. So why don't we just do that and see if it helps? So I'm 1 week out from that now, which is sort of around the sort of time frame that they say to allow for cortisone to work, and definitely feeling better in the knee now. It still clicks a fair bit. Still clicks, and I'm a little less, like there's less pain following, but I've got through a week of training. So following that, I had Tuesday fully off to allow the injection to sort of take effect. Wednesday ran in the morning. Didn't really notice a lot of difference. Ran 6K down in Ballarat. It was freezing, so it was -1, feels like -4. First full cold day. I know Canberra's been cold, Brad, too.
Well, in the morning it has been, but I haven't been running in the morning. But the days have been pretty nice, like 19, 18, 19.
Yeah, this day was good. It was just freezing in the morning.
Yeah, oh, I didn't run much last week and certainly wasn't running in the mornings.
Yeah, well, the blue-collar athletes know it was cold. Ran that arvo at Run Club. So I didn't really do much, but there was a bit of a presentation at Radford where a sports dietitian had a chat about running and nutrition for runners, and I just sort of helped out. Next morning, ran with Ali in Anglesey. We decided to stay on the flat, but then ended up running at Tunner Hills because there are just no flat areas here. So, like, that was part of the treatment plan, stay off hills, but we didn't. Afternoon run, got out and did some strides afterwards. So feeling good for the first workout the next morning, which was 4x3K with 500 float. So this is sort of what I always enter marathon period doing. It's difficult to do that after you've had more than sort of two or three marathon blocks, because inevitably you compare how your workout goes. So I don't think I'll do this again. I thought that I would be able to get away from sort of comparing, but not so. Not so. I did 4x3K, and there was a 500 float. So I did this out on Gray's Road on a loop out there in Paraparap. It was pretty windy. I know it only says 15K, but it was definitely...
15K, like, is pretty windy. On the long straight roads like that, yeah. Anything over about 10 or 12, I reckon, starts to impact your bin.
We had like a rain squall come down in for the first rep, and that normally brings like higher winds. And then once it left, it kind of maybe backed off a little bit.
15, but you're in trouble. 20, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. 15 was, well, if that was...
If when that I say really screwed, was to 15, hit those paces.
Yeah, it was strong.
That's when you got to adjust, yeah.
It was strong. But you also, like, it was a loop, so we got 15 behind us at some points as well.
And it looks like you had the straights are about 1.5K long.
Yeah, and what was happening, and it's sort of been a consistent theme to some of my workouts, is the heart rate went up on the uphill also copped the headwind, and the downhill got the tailwind.
Mm.
So it's not great when that happens. Because you sort of push too hard, and then, like, I wasn't looking at my heart rate at all. I didn't want to do that. But, like, in retrospect, looking at my heart rate, I was just going too high and not really coming down enough. So the reps, I did it with Toby. He'd driven down for the workout, and he's in better shape than I am. So, like, I was a little concerned about that, like, if my workout sort of went pear-shaped, just having someone pushing too hard next to me and me feeling like I should be keeping up, when really marathon training's about finding your own rhythm and zone. And sometimes maybe it's better to do workouts by yourself during that block. So we did, like, when you look at my reps, 3:14, 13, 15, 16, it's not a disaster. But then if you actually look at my heart rate and sort of my perceived effort during the workout, it's not a marathon workout.
Yeah, 179 beats per minute average for that third one.
Yeah, it's actually a really challenging threshold workout. So if you think 4 by like nearly 10 minutes at threshold, that's, and with only a minute sort of 35 in between, that's actually a really difficult workout. For if you're running it as a threshold, which is what it was.
Yeah, floating as well, not minute 45 jogging.
Yeah, I took my third rep as a jog at 4:02s rather than 3:35s, which is what I was aiming for. But in the end, like, I felt like it was nice to get it finished, but it was a real eye opener, and I walked away from that thinking this is not sustainable. If you're going to train for a marathon, you have to, like, I already adjusted my expectations for this workout running those paces, and I needed to adjust them more. I need to take them back again. So I've decided, like, I'm going to not run to pace for the next month and just stay to effort level and maybe use heart rate more, just to basically find my zone, not cook myself every time. And that's a relief. It's almost like it's just like this weight off my shoulders, knowing that I don't have to hit paces anymore.
That's smart. Did he not put it on Strava?
No, he put it up there. It's weird that it's not getting it.
Didn't tag you into it.
Yeah. I think when I add it as a workout, so when I put a workout into my watch and run it, it never uploads it with someone, because we started and finished at the same spot. It's very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, he averaged 3:18 as well.
Yeah, he may have, but I think because he ended up putting probably about 20 to 30 meters on me, because the third rep I jogged and he floated. But then we averaged the same pace for the last rep, I think. And then I floated a bit far. Oh, anyway, he did it more comfortably than me anyway. So we went. Yeah.
His heart rate data is still 175 and stuff though.
Yeah. He's also entering his first marathon block, and there's a lot of excitement around that, I think.
Yeah, he's a beast as well, that bloke.
You can get up and about for workouts, and you don't really have you don't really perceive marathon effort, because you don't know what marathon effort really is yet.
He didn't chuck in any of those signature surges or anything, try drop you, like he did to me for hill, about 8K at Canberra.
I kept in my head, I was like, okay, just because he goes hard up the hill doesn't mean he can bury you. A K out from the end of this workout, I got him covered. Put 18 seconds in it. Ran with Jose and Ali and their dog Luna that afternoon down in Aries, which went and checked out the surf again. This was actually the biggest day I've ever seen. The biggest day. So it was crazy to watch the ocean at a different level. Next morning, ran sort of sunrise or before sunrise, just 10.5K, cruised around. Then afternoon, on the way home from work, I stopped at the reservoir again and just ran around the reservoir and on some country roads. That beautiful spot out there. I'm going to keep doing that if I have to. It's really like peaceful. A lot of kangaroos in there. There was a dam that was half empty with a dead horse in it. That wasn't very nice. You know, like someone dumped the horse there when it was full, and then as it sort of drained or lost water, the horse is just sitting there. So it looks kind of new too. It doesn't look old. It looks like a fresh horse. But anyway, foxes will get that or something. And then the next day, so this was always going to be a tight turnaround. I did a longer run. It was 34K. 24K was done with the group, and the fucking group went nuts today. So we ended up averaging 3:59s for this 24K. And then I was starting to feel this run. Like, my heart rate got up on this. I averaged 149 beats a minute for this 24K loop. And I was starting to feel it at the end for sure. And then I had to change shoes and go into 10K as a bit of a progressive run. But what I decided was to give away the progressive bit and just run it at sort of sub-threshold, maybe around marathon heart rate. So I did that. This was a run that was... We had a pretty good group. So we got Ali had Sinead and Camille down staying with her. So they came and run. And Sinead Diver is an absolute beast on the front of these packs. She just runs like it's hard, fast, comfortable, and everyone else is just hanging off her. So she ended up catching up to us at about the 11K mark. and then she just took off the front.
What I reckon you mean she catching dropped... up to you? Didn't you say she was off the front?
Oh, no, but there was two packs, and she was just running with the other ladies for this part. Oh, and then okay. they caught up, and then all of a sudden Sinead went to the run, front, drops 354, 50, 53, 51, 47, 48, 51. And that last 51 was going up a hill. So she cooked me. And then we got back to the car, and I did this 10K where I averaged 3:26s. I stayed at a heart rate I thought was pretty like sustainable. And yeah, I mean, I'm not stoked on the pace that it was, but it is what it is when you run the heart rate. You can't get upset about it because it's your heart rate that's the goal, and the pace is a result of that. So in the end, it was a pretty solid day, 34K, average 350 for the whole run. I didn't really get my nutrition right either. I needed to take more on the easy section. And then during the 10K, I wanted to take on a bottle of Morton drink mix, but I filled it a bit too, like, it's just hard to take it from a full bottle. So I needed to spread it across a few bottles in order to actually take it on properly, because it's just too difficult if it's all in the one bottle. So a few lessons learned on this one. So in the end, after like a fuck knee and an injection and everything, I got 128K and I'm onto a good thing this week, I think.
Yeah, big backload though, wasn't it? Like the Friday, Sunday, that's a bit of stress there in those 2 days.
Yeah, and it was borderline tired whether today. I could pull it off. Yeah, sort of tired, ran real sort of heart rate today and a few little niggles. So I've been doing strength work again, and the back's got a bit sore from doing some of that stuff, like some squatting and some deadlifts. So I've got to be careful of that. And just a little Achilles tightness as well. Got to be careful of that too.
So when you talk about this surgery as well, like, are you thinking you'll get Gold Coast out of the way and then you have to have this surgery, or is this like a 2 or 3 or 5 year kind of thing down the track?
Yeah, so the doctor said, oh, it's probably something you want to do at the end of your serious running. And I said, oh, how long does it take to come back? And he said, oh, 6 months. I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. Like, if it allows you to run pain-free, and if this is a real hindrance in the next sort of 3 months of training, I'd rather get it done and then sort of come back and enjoy my running again, rather than spend like 4 years limping around hating it.
Yeah, for sure. That'd be the smartest thing to do.
Yeah, so that's it. That's at the moment I'm running, and today I ran and sort of didn't feel it much, and hopefully the strength work I'm doing kicks in soon enough.
Positive. Jeez, you can talk, can't you, Brad?
Yeah.
Good recap.
120K a week goes for bloody hour.
Okay, so 26 minutes.
26 minutes of pure wit, pure entertainment.
If you're still skipping ahead, guys, this is the time to stop. It's about to go to Brad Croker's week. Go Croaks.
So I had the reverse week of Moose. I had a decent start, and then it went to shit, literally. Monday we drove back from the coast. Got out that afternoon. I'm told it good to be back on the dirt because I pretty much ran Friday, Saturday, Sunday down there on the concrete. So, and it really does bang your legs up when you're used to doing everything on the dirt. So did an hour there at 4:14s. Tuesday afternoon, we're out at the track at Woden. So our group now has the track booked every Tuesday night from now till about August, from 6 o'clock till 7:30. So that's pretty cool. Have a place to train under lights. So the session was three sets of 600, 200 with 200 jog between the reps. And then after those three sets, jog a lap recovery and then do it again. The aim was to run somewhere around 5K effort or pace for the 600s and obviously faster for the 200s. So probably like they're probably closer to 1500 pace, I guess. Did the session with Charlie. We pretty much swapped off, like did one set each. So did a 600 and a 200 each and then swapped. So 600s for me, like started off pretty conservative, a couple of 150s, and then 146. That was the end of the first set. And then the second set went like 148, 145, 144. All the 200s for the night were between 31 and 33. Most were sort of in that 32s. And the 200 jog was between 50 and 54 seconds. And we took 2 minutes to jog a lap between the sets. So it was a really fun session, like just changing pace and breaking it up into three sets meant that, I don't know, like it was a 7K session and it went pretty quick. So I was happy. Like I felt really in control, was recovering well in the 200 jog. And the lap recovery between the sets, like I wanted to give myself at least 2 minutes recovery, and we pretty much, you know, got around the lap in like a minute 45. I'm like, oh, let's just sort of stand around for 15 seconds. Used the Coros track option. And
so good, isn't it?
Yeah, it worked pretty well. Like it shortchanged me 20 meters. But the thing I found most interesting was the start and the stop position on the GPS aren't the same. So like it was, you know, it's still way better. Like if I wore my Garmin, it would have got, well, everyone I did the session with got between like 7.5 and 7.6 for a 7.2K, and I got 7.18. So, yeah, it is super accurate, which is good. Left the track Tuesday thinking, oh, yep, pretty good shape. Looking forward to Sydney 10. Got up Wednesday morning, went to work, and I was going to do my midweek long run that afternoon, and got to like period two, and all of it, like it was probably 10 degrees at the time, and I started to get like super hot, and took off my tracksuit, and then battled on for about another 2 hours at work, where I was just like hot, cold, just felt rubbish. Just the thought of eating anything just made me sick, and so I basically had to come home early. And the rest of Wednesday and all of Thursday pretty much didn't eat. I had like a few pieces of bread because I just couldn't stomach anything, like went completely off coffee, and still had those sort of hot, cold sort of that fever. And then actually weighed myself Friday morning. I was like 58.0, which like I'm normally probably 59.5. And then when Friday hit, I started to feel better, just felt really weak, but then then I was on the toilet for the next like 2 days. So got out on, what did I do then? So because I felt better on Friday, I went out hoping to get through sort of 35 minutes or so, which I did, 4:35s, about 10 minutes in, realized it was a pretty bad idea because I was just feeling really sort of weak. Still had those sort of body aches a little bit, and the up and down was just like my stomach ended up just, it was a bit of a mess when I finished the run. So I went, all right, probably not quite ready to start running yet. Took Saturday off, and then yesterday felt better in terms of like my stomach wasn't as bad. Didn't have the aches and pains, and managed an hour at 4:19s. Just a little bit sort of lethargic and weak, but so that was my week, 52.9 kilometers, which it was a shame, but because I'd also I'd missed a day since mid-December, so I was on like a 4.5 month sort of streak, which was a shame to break that, but anyway, that's life.
So running streak, mate.
Yeah, so actually the last day I took off was that day I did a session with Ellie down the coast, did the mile reps. I took a day off after that, and that was the last time I took a day off running up until Wednesday. So that was a pretty good little streak.
It's not quite Ron Hillworth, but
it's not
getting there.
But like even when I first got sick on Wednesday in the morning, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'll just go home. I'll have a little rest. I'll be right to get out for half an hour. And like back in the day, I probably still would have tried to get a run in, whereas now I'm just like, no, I'm not, you know, like even on Friday when I went out, I'm like, this is not fun. I'm not running again until I know it's going to be manageable and it's not going to feel like a death march.
Does it change your prediction for him, Moose? 30-20, 10K
a
week?
Oh, yeah, for sure. This shit, that, there's no joke getting gastro. It's a real hit to the body. It just, even if you start feeling better, your body's still not right, and you're so sore from things. Like, Oh, you were throwing up a bit, Brad?
No, I just had the diarrhea.
Oh well, yeah, maybe you'll be all right. That's
but it's more the whole. I think 2 days of not really eating. You know, you drop a bit of weight, and yeah. So at the moment, I'm probably like I'm 50-50 at best for Sydney 10. Like if the race was here in Canberra, I'd just jump in and do it. But for me, it's a whole weekend because the race is at 7 o'clock in the morning, so I have to go up the day before. Stay overnight, and then I wouldn't get back till Sunday afternoon. So I just don't know whether it's worth it to go up there and, you know, run 31 or, you know, So I'm unlikely at this stage.
It's only Monday though. Can turn yeah. a page next couple of days. You've got time. And it's a Sunday race, isn't it, this year?
Yeah. So I've got a track session planned tomorrow. So we're just going to do a few K reps, which I'll do then with Charlie. Like Charlie's hoping to run like 32 minutes, so I'll start off with him at his pace, and then I'll see how I go. And feel good, I'll work down to like I guess what I'd hope to sort of run, like that 303s to 305s, and just see how that feels. But yeah, at this stage, it's sort of 50-50, as I said.
I can't believe you only weigh 59 kilos.
Yeah, like 59.
That's
what
I weigh. You're like way taller than me.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that is light, isn't it? Like, that is like children's size.
I don't have shoulders.
How tall are you? How many centimeters?
Like 177, between 177 and 178, I think.
Yeah, pretty lean.
That is very light. Let's not say lean. We don't know if he's lean or not, but he's very light.
What is the difference?
Oh, you can be like puppy fat, right? What do they call it? Fat skinny or whatever? Skinny fat?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of fat on me.
Croaks is, yeah. Every time you see him, he looks like he's ready for like an Olympic final or something.
Chuck up a selfie, Brad.
In the message group, Brad.
Yeah, okay.
Get Viv to take one while I'm recapping my week. Get your shirt off as well, and we'll put it on Instagram this week.
Make sure I get the lighting right.
Yeah, all that, the filters.
Yeah, all right.
Kind of things. I'll whip through my week, eh, Moose? Whip through it.
Oh, no, let's hear about it.
Monday, I did 13K in the morning at 4:35 pace, and then 7K in the afternoon at 4:41 pace. And then Tuesday, Archie and I met up for Moose Fartlek after we spoke about it last week. This was good. We did an out and back, so like 15 minutes out, 15 minutes back. Didn't get back to the starting point because in that first 15 minutes, you've got 3 of the 3 minutes. So you're going to cover more ground, which is something I figured out when I got back more cooling down. I'm like, why didn't we get back? And then it was because of that was the case.
So did Archie figure it out or did you?
I definitely figured it out. Because as we were like getting to the corner where we started, I'm looking up there going, we're not going to make it. What have we done wrong here? Like, we're pretty sensible early. But then I had to do the maths on it. We averaged about 3:02 pace for the 3 minutes and about 2:52 for the 1 minute. Right on 9K for the 30 minutes. Actually, we went 30:15 just because I was manually hitting my watch. So you're going to add a few seconds there. It's about 250-300 meters off our best. But as I said to Archie, cooling down, we don't need to be hitting our best when we're 8 weeks out from Launceston 10K.
Sometimes even the sun has an off day, Brady.
Did you see that meme they made about you saying that?
No.
That was very good.
That's the best one I've seen from that Instagram feed. Very, very well done.
They're always ripping you to shreds on that one, Croaks. But they had a crack at Moose on this one. It was good.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Maybe I did see it.
Yeah. 30 minutes in the afternoon, 4:39 pace just after work. Wednesday morning, average 4:25s on my morning run. For 70 minutes, so like 15.8K. A lot of single trail in this as well. Like I rarely go quicker than 4:30 pace on that one. So just put in my caption that I must have been feeling pretty good. Then the afternoon, got out for 32 minutes at 7K, which was 7K at 4:31 pace. And then this was Thursday. This was the day I got sick. So I got out for 35 minutes in the morning. It was one of those ones where I was out of bed at 6:10 and on the road at 6:20, and I just put in my notes that I'm not young enough for that anymore. I've just noticed you've sent a photo through, Brad, but I don't want to look at it yet. Can I just finish my week?
I'm looking at it.
You look at it. My week's pretty much...
Looks like an old... Oh, that is filth.
I'm looking at it too. I want to look at it. This is terrible radio.
Fat skinny, Moose?
I'm putting Jesus. That up on Instagram.
Ripped. Talk about ripped he is. Do you do sit-ups and stuff?
Yeah, I've been going to the gym every couple of weeks, couple of times a week now.
Jeez. Yeah, we'll put that
well, obviously, last week didn't go much.
He's really, really hold like flexing on this one though.
He's got the angles.
Just natural moose.
Look, he's shaved his stomach too. Who's all your stomach hair?
I don't have much stomach hair.
Yeah. Pretty good chest hair there though. Anyway, I did 80 minutes Thursday afternoon, 4:28 pace, and then cooked dinner for my mum and Carly. Went to bed, read for half an hour, packed my bag for a Friday morning workout. Everything was good. And then just woke up at 1 a.m. just vomiting and pretty much vomited. I think I vomited 6 times between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was absolutely disgusting. And just felt like I'd been hit by a truck. Called into work sick on Friday and then pretty much stayed in bed till about, I think about 2 p.m. when I messaged you guys and said, I've just got out of bed. And yeah, just felt terrible, hot and cold fever. I was the only one that got the kind of sickness, which was good. So Carly and my mum could carry me through looking after Hudson and, surviving Friday during the day. Saturday, I was still pretty sick, but I felt a bit better in the afternoon. I got out for 35 minutes and just putting my notes here, like felt like I'd never ran before. Just was really, just a bit like wobbly and uncoordinated kind of thing. Like just felt terrible. And then Sunday, I slept for 12 hours both Friday and Saturday night. And Sunday, I woke up feeling pretty good. I let the other boys go to Barmer. I didn't want to try and do a long run with them just because I wanted to go at my own pace and I wasn't sure how long I was actually going to go for. Planned on an hour, put the heart rate monitor on, put the headphones on, listened to a few podcasts. Ended up doing 2 hours and I just kept, every time my heart rate got over 125, I just went slower, just kind of backed off. So all up, it was 2 hours, 25K, 4:47 pace, but it felt good the whole way. Like it, yeah, the sickness was kind of gone and just really like relaxing. I want to chuck one of those in my program, like a 3 hour one at that pace. You know, Sean Crichton goes like super long, but backs off the pace. I reckon there'd be something fun about doing that. I reckon the mind space would be quite interesting. Like, cause you're out there for so long. And the pace is so easy. I really think it gets really meditative and you get in your own thoughts and you kind of, maybe one day I'll try a 3 hour one at that pace. So that was my week. I think I averaged like, like 130, 125, something like that. But a lot of jogging in there. I think I've done 2 workouts now in 2 weeks. So, need to get back into the workouts. Gels Park Relays this weekend though, which I'm looking forward to. Hopefully get 1 or 2 sessions in this week before we get on the line down in Melbourne with the Bendigo Bats in Divi 2 this Divi 2. Saturday, 6x6K. You running, Moose? You running for Ballarat?
I will run for Ballarat, but not at Joe. I've got to work.
Oh, do you?
Saturday is just work day, mate. You know, it's blue collar life.
Yeah, Saturday Arvo as well. It's a hard... We got to kind of wipe out our whole Saturday and drive down there and race, come home.
It's so far.
Yeah. Yep, so we'll sit in the car for 3 hours to get down there and hopefully go all right in Divi 2. Hopefully smoke up a few Divi 1 teams as well while we're there, which would be good. Ballarat, I reckon we'll probably beat Ballarat on the weekend. Do you want to put a bet on it? You're not talking trash on this show?
Well, I reckon you'll go well for Divi 2 and Ballarat will handle themselves in Divi 1. So you're not in the same competition.
Because we both do 6x6K though, and we start like 50 metres back, I'm happy to say that we'll give them the 50 metres head start, catch them, and beat them over the 36K. Do you want to put a slab on it?
You only race against who's in your race, mate. There's no point racing against people not in your race.
Do you want to put a slab on it, though? Because you're always talking down the Bendigo Bats, but you want to put your money where your mouth is?
Hey, I back you guys into win Div 2, don't worry.
Come on, give us it. This is a good challenge for you. What about I give you Geelong as well? All the Surf Coast track boys be running for Geelong. We'll beat Geelong and Ballarat in Divi 1.
No, I don't think they've got the strongest team either. Okay. But
come on, that's a pretty good bet. Two Premier Division teams against a Division 2 team.
I said you would win Div 2.
Yeah, but we want to stack up against the Premier Division boys.
Yeah, well, you're not against them. You're still in the junior ranks.
What about Melbourne Uni? I'll give you Melbourne Uni as well.
You're in the primary school leagues. Bendigo is a primary school team. There are high school competitors out there.
When the grade 6 kid comes up and belts a year 8 kid.
Brady, why don't you go? You'll have the quickest time overall? Will you beat all the teams?
Oh, I don't think we'll beat all the teams. I think we'll beat most of them, other than, it depends if Stewie runs for like St. Stephen's Harriers. They're pretty strong.
You're banking one guy. One guy.
Stewie, Ben Buckingham. They're Tom Thorpe. I don't think so, Brad. I reckon we'll probably beat every Premier Division team other than maybe two or three. What about if we come top three in Premier Division, Moose? Will you give me a slab for that?
Fuck it. You're not coming top three because you're in Division Two, so you can't possibly come top three.
They should give us the medal, though, don't you?
Except Division Two.
Should they give us the medal if we capture all the Premier Division?
You haven't.
It'd make a good story, though, wouldn't it?
Haven't done the work to get into Division One before.
How up and about is he, Moose?
Should see our team, Croaks. You should see it. These are the people who haven't made our team this week, Moose. Sean Forrest, Brad Croker, Guy Walters, and Jamie Cook. They're in their reserves at the moment.
None of them are running.
Exactly. So can you imagine what our top six are like?
Yeah. If you guys were any good, you would have made Division One already.
No, we would have made it 2020, but COVID cooked us.
What about 2019?
We lost by 1 point because Carly was due to have Hudson and I couldn't get to the last two races, remember?
You're relying on one person to make the Division One.
Yeah, that's true. We did struggle with depth back in 2019, but this year there's depth coming out of our ears.
When you get to Div 1...
A lot of people have been asking about Bendigo Bats merch and stuff as well, and we'll get some details on that. Yeah, Andy Buchanan's doing it. So also, they'll think about starting a Patreon page for Bendigo Bats, so we'll get some details out there as well. But anyway, should be good. A lot of support out there. If you're in town, Melbourne, come see the Bendigo Bats live in, where are we? Gels Park, Wheeler's Hill. Saturday, Alvo. Thanks, Patrick.
I don't think I've ever heard you talk so much shit in 181 episodes.
I could be our worst rider on Saturday, boys. I might be on the chopping block.
We just had a few patrons jump ship right then.
Going to Divi 14, maybe. Anyway, let's thank some Patreon supporters. Kick us off, Croaks.
All right, I've got Antoine C. Antoine lives in Connell's Point in New South Wales. It's a nice area on the Georges River. He's run 20:41 for 5K, 1:59 for the Sydney Morning Herald, a half marathon back in 2015. It was hard to find much on him, as don't know his last name. Lives and runs on the beach regularly, shaved head, does a bit of snow hiking, owns an OG grey IRP singlet and ran City to Surf in 2019. Maybe has one kid. So thanks for your support, Antoine.
I ended up finding a bit on him in the end, though, didn't I?
How did you find it if you don't know his last name?
I don't know. I think I Googled his name and then where he lived. Something like that. Yeah, took me a while. You guys have no idea how long this takes me on a Sunday afternoon. Finding these.
It's a bit creepy, actually.
I just like thanking the people that support us, Moose.
You've got to
put in the time and thank them.
You're really getting into their lives.
You know what has cooked me, though, and you're going to bring it up in the person you're thanking. I've had a bit of a spreadsheet issue. You can thank your man, and I'll tell you about it.
I'll thank Brenton Hall. So Brenton, he actually signed up the week of Brady running the 5K champs last year.
That was 2019, actually. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, well, that is a long time ago. Mm. So he's been on board for ages. So thank you, Brenton. Brenton has some PBs listed: 407, 1500, 854, 3K, 1532 for 5, 32, 33 for 10, and 1:17:10 for the half. Now, Brad, quickly pick your top PB out of that.
Ooh. I will go, for me, it's between the 3 and the 5.
It's the 3.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Someone else to pick it and then just overrules it.
It's the 3. Don't worry about it. I was never going to listen to you anyway. Now, funny thing about Brenton is, well, there's multiple funny things, but fills out the perceived exertion on Strava. So, you know, when you go in and like, edit a post on Strava, you can change the name, the title, the shoes and all that. There's an option to put in perceived effort. Well, I've never seen anyone actually do it. Brenton does it. So not sure what it leads to, but he's tracking it on that. And he loves Mizuno shoes. So he's a real loyalist here. Has about 7 pairs of Mizunos. Mizuno's coming out with some good stuff soon.
Yeah, did you guys get a pair the other day delivered?
Got two.
Got two?
Yep.
Did you get two moose?
That's how sick I was. These got delivered when I was sick, and it took me like a couple of days to even open up the box.
Oh, yeah, I got one pair delivered.
Yeah, I only got one.
I think there's a couple. Hopefully a couple more coming.
Oh, okay. Mizuno, good. Yeah, right. Brenton, are you? I have a spreadsheet where I was keeping a list of all the patrons we've thanked and who I hadn't got to yet. And then I had a bit of technical difficulties and lost it, but I've still got a list of everyone I've thanked, but I haven't got a list of the people I haven't thanked who have been Patreon supporters for a long time.
Okay, you've got to download another list.
And then go through it, maybe. I think I'm actually going to put a post on Patreon and say, hey, if you've been a Patreon supporter for like longer than 6 months...
You don't want people asking for a shout-out.
No. I was just going to say, like this post, and then I'll go through and see what name's there and cross-check with my one.
All right. Anyway, I got another one to thank tonight. Nathan Smith. He's from Hermosa Beach, which... Is that LA? Hermosa Beach.
California. CA.
Yeah.
LA.
No, it says CA. I think it's down like Hermosa Beach. It could even be... Oh, someone Google... Someone map that out.
Croaks, I'll do it.
16:54 5K, 36:56 10K, and 121:10 250 marathon at the Santa Rosa Marathon for 12th. Currently building for a fall marathon. Hopefully they go ahead for him. Good swagger. Now, is that the photo you've put here?
That's him there, yeah. Look at him.
Gee, he's ripped. Yeah. He's got some arms like me, actually. Real definition.
Hat backwards on the beach.
Bit of volume through the bicep.
Could fight.
Probably could fight, but who knows?
I went to a school with Nathan Smith and he could fight as well. It's a real like fighting name, I reckon.
How do you know he could fight?
Oh, because I've seen him getting a few scruffs at the skate park and stuff back in the day.
Fucking hell. I keep seeing that scooter gang around Anglesey floating around, like late at night, I passed one tonight, just on the trails. Like, they must have like drugs hidden out in the bush or something. Because I'm just seeing them in the pitch black, like on the single track, and we scare the shit out of each other running along. I'm like, fuck, 4 teenage kids on scooters, and they're like, who the hell is out here running right now? Really weird stuff.
Thanks, Nathan.
So, Moose, it's south of Venice Beach, about 10 miles south of Venice.
Yeah, I reckon it's like near Manhattan Beach.
So it's just south of Manhattan Beach and just north of Redondo Beach.
Yeah, you can get some. You can surf there, and it's a good one for people that like come into the airport and they want to get a run in because it's really close to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can jump down on that trail and you can run on. It's a concrete path, but it's a pretty cool little concrete path the whole way down.
I want to thank Andrew Carey from Footscray in Victoria. All these guys are similar ability tonight. 19:25 for 3K, 15:58, 33:30. He's got them covered over the half, though, I reckon. 1:14:32. I think he may have his debut marathon coming up shortly because he did 3x6K yesterday. Fan of AB Original. That's Briggs and Trials, the rappers. One of the best like versions ever with Paul Kelly, those guys did.
Oh, you know Dumplings.
Yeah,
fuck
Dumplings.
Yeah,
yeah.
That is amazing.
Talked about changing the date on Australia Day and kids in detention centres and things like that.
Yeah,
one of the best
amazing
songs, yeah. And great film clip to it too. Dan Salton was in there as well. Local tracks, the Newport track, and is a Pink Next Percent owner for a footwear, getting around the track in those. So thanks for your support, Andrew, Nathan, Antone, and Brendan. Running news, fellas. There's a bit to get through. What's all this? What's that stuff about Coros Pace 2?
Oh, mate, that's part of Brenton Singh. Loves it. Lightest GPS on the market.
But did you get him to ride his own? Thanks.
Nah, I just sold him that.
Oh, did you? Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway. That's what that was doing there. Let's talk about Run the Tan first, because we'll start on Saturday morning. First race, this one. First, like, official race. We see the Tan relays happen every year in the Athletics Victoria season. Well, not last year with COVID, but every other year. We did see a couple of time trials happen around there when Jen Gregson, broke the record last year. Set up a race this year. Looked like the setup looked amazing. Like, I was expecting maybe they just get down there and you know, ready, set, go, and you do a lap, but they kind of had finishing straights and barriers up and MCs and a whole lot of, like, AFL and, like, you know, Warney was the ambassador and Monster Energy was the sponsor of New Balance. And it looked like a really legit event just from the footage I saw on the stream. Didn't see a lot of running footage, just saw him at the start and then saw him come through the finish. Moose Ellie was there. You'll be able to tell us a bit more about what she said, and she'll be on Road to Nowhere as well shortly. But the results were, people in Melbourne love this event, so I've just got to tune people in to the times. Craig Mottram has the record at 10:08, set in 2006. And Jen Gregson had the record of 11:54, which was set in 2020. Stewie missed the record by 1 second. He ran at 10:09. Ryan Gregson ran second in 10:23. Dave McNeil third in 10:26. And Joel Tobin White from Road to Nowhere ran fourth in 10:30. In the women's, Lyndon Hall fell over at the start, got back up, caught the group, went past them. One broke the record by 19 seconds in 11:35. Georgia Hanson was second in 11:44. Jen Gregson third, 11:48. And Ali Pashley fourth, 11:53. So all four women under the course record. A confusion around prize money. I'll bring that up while we're going here as well. The website had listed $2,500 for first prize and then $2,500 if you broke the record. But then Shane Warne, who was like an ambassador, they kept talking how Stewie had missed this $7,000 bonus by 1 second by missing the record. But then Shane Warne, this is like an international cricketer, if you're not familiar with Australian sport, then gave Stewie the $7,000 out of his own pocket for getting so close to it and for helping him prepare for the Tokyo Olympics, I think his words were. So he ended up having a good day financially. He picked up $9,500. Lyndon got her $5,000. Comments,
wait,
boys?
Wait.
Yeah.
Roll that again.
So Stewie got $9,500 for not breaking the record, but $7,000 of that was given to him by Shane Warne. And then Lyndon got $5,000 for breaking the record and her first place, but got no money from Shane Warne. But I don't know why. I need to check this. And my phone was lighting up before with some comments, but I probably should start reading because it is about this a bit. I don't know why they had this $7,000 bonus just for the men's race. That's the bit that kind of confuses me a bit.
Yeah.
And there was also prize money in the para, like Jared Clifford ran 11:09 and Dean Kenzie was 11:37 and Nellie Mitchell ran 14:53 and Annabelle Coleman second 16:25 and Georgia Pounding 16:27. And they had prize money for the para section as well, but I just don't know, it's confusing that why Stewie got that, why that $7,000 was up in the first place if it wasn't for the women.
All right. Well, regardless of that, because we don't really know why, seems a little odd, but we don't know why, Lyndon Hall's run was one of the best runs I've ever seen. I mean, I didn't see it. I saw her go down and I was like, oh my goodness. Like, that's a short race. You're going to blow your stack getting back to the group now. And then you're going to hit the hill after having to surge to catch the group. That's a dangerous situation to be in. But obviously, like, she is just full class at the moment. And, you know, like, she's our best 1500 meter runner of all time, or our fastest anyway. She has the class. But to break the record by that much, destroying girls who are fit too.
She's going to run a good 5K soon as well, I reckon.
Yeah, that's what I said on Sunday. Yeah. I'm like, yeah. She gets on the track with that sort of form, it's in trouble. Like, the Australian record down around that, what is it, 1440 something?
Yeah.
That's in
her,
trouble.
Her and Jess Hull are just going to go tit for tat, I reckon. Like, these records are just going to keep tumbling.
Wouldn't it be great if they got to, like, wouldn't it be great if there was a some sort of training group where they were just, like, work, I don't know.
Or if they probably just rang Lyndon and said, get to Portland. Come train with Jess for the next, and race with her for the next 3 or 4 months.
Whatever Lyndon's doing is working. I don't think you want to change it.
You say she'll stay local, won't she, and still until Tokyo?
I don't know her plans.
Okay, yeah. Any comments on the men's race, boys? Stewie agonisingly close again. I think the last time he ran there, he might have missed it by 3 seconds. This time it was 1 second.
It went out hard. So I talked to Bucks. He paced Stewie, and he said that the first K, which is basically takes you to the hill at Anderson Street, they went through in 2:30 something, and then Stewie surged on him up the hill. Now, can you imagine running along that dirt track in 2:30 something and then hitting Anderson Street Hill and having to surge up it to try to stay with Stewie? That is insane to think about. So Bucks could not. And let's talk about, like, Bucks is one of our best runners in the country, like in terms of the steeple, and he can't stay with Stewie for more than like a K. It's pretty bizarre how classy Stewie is in terms of, or how strong he is.
Any other comments, Brad?
No surprises. Thought Gregson ran quite well in second.
Yeah, he's coming to form, isn't he?
Especially over that sort of longer stuff. Long for him anyway.
That's it. Talk about the marathon, the Athletics Australia Sydney Marathon that was on the weekend. Caden Shields, past guest, New Zealander, he won it in 2:16.07. Dave Ridley, New Zealander as well, was second, 2:17.20. And Great Britain's Nick Earle was third in 2:18.52. The big stories, though, came from the Para guys who rocked up. Michael Rogat ran 2:18.53 to break his own world record. And then Jared Clifford, just 24 hours after running the tan time, paced, kept going, ran 2:19.08. This is after he also had a couple of races during the week at the Australian University Championships, I think it was. Strange that he kept going. Very surprising when I got home from my long run to see that he'd run 2:19.08. I know there were some comments there about how he couldn't remember the last time he did a long run. Spoke to him today, had one gel on the start line and then a couple of sips of Morton throughout the race. And then just, kept going. So he broke his classification world record as well. Brad Carterfeld as well. We spoke about him when we were over at the Lake Biwa Marathon because he was there with us. Previous for world champ, I'm going to say. Commonwealth gold medalist in the triathlon. Now 41 years old, he also broke 2:20, easy, ran 2:19.18. The one female entrant, Ruth Croft from New Zealand, was a DNF. She pulled out around 30K. In total, 10 finishes, 7 Australians. What do you think, fellas? Which one do you want to talk about first?
Why don't we talk about the race first? So do we think this was a success? Like,
they're lucky the Para boys rocked up.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, they've come away with this with stories.
Yeah.
But let's say Roger cooked it and ran 2:25. We've got an event put on by AA that New Zealand runner won, that a New Zealand runner was second, that a Great Britain runner was third, that there were no female finishers and only one entrant, a New Zealander. And there was only 7 finishes all up. Like, this is probably a sign that, like, the event, what logistically wasn't done very well, and perhaps this year anyway wasn't really required. I think you need greater lead times if you're going to put a marathon on.
Yeah, which was spoken about. Like, the logistics there looked good. It looked like the event ran smoothly, but I think it was more communication and the lead-in time. Is that the point you're trying to make?
It's the point I was trying to make, is that it seemed a little rushed and everything. And I guess what the course had to be adjusted because there was flooding on the actual course. So they'd had some weather there and the trails were all messed up. So they had to actually adjust the course. And it didn't quite look as smooth as it potentially could have, which was unfortunate. I mean, that's just weather. You can't really help that. But Caden Shields, he didn't run a PB. I thought Dave Ridley ran well, 2:17.
Pretty good run for Dave. Like, if you know Dave, he runs like marathon training all year round, and has been doing that for about 3 years. So it was good to see him get one on the board.
Nick Earle, he's run 2:14. So 2:18 high is probably not, like, leaving him crazy happy. Michael Roger, he's a 14-minute flat guy. So 2:18.53 to me, like, he got the world record, which is great. And it's probably not the best, like, to me, all the corners didn't seem like the best course. But for a 14 flat guy, and this isn't Roger's first time round, I would have thought that he might have been aiming for something faster than that, like considering.
I think they're pacing. I think Nick spoke about on Road to Nowhere, though, that he was maybe going for like 2:19 pace. I think they were being a bit conservative. I agree with you. Like, if you run 14 flat, I thought he might have tried to go with, you know, Ridley or Nick, who originally were talking maybe 67:30 to run 2:15 dead.
Has he run 64?
Yeah, I remember talking to him after Gold Coast 1 year, him and Andy Buchanan coming together in the rain, the year you ran.
Yep. So he has some form over the distance.
Do you think,
well,
though, maybe like Rio, not Rio, what are we talking? Tokyo is like, you know, 3 months out, get one on the board, you know what I mean? And then go all out there. Oh, it's going to be
it
hot,
didn't
though.
Seem, like, there was a lot of emotion in his celebration. So it seemed like this was a genuine success for him, running 2:18:53. So maybe like his lead up wasn't going that great, and this was actually a big success, like based on the lead up that he had. I just think a 14 flat guy and someone with the class of Michael Roger could be aiming around that sort of sub 2:14 time. That's just what I make of it. I mean, he got the world record, so there's...
It was his world record, though.
Yeah, but I guess there's that to celebrate, which is what they were celebrating, but I feel like he's a classier athlete than 2:18:53 suggests. Like, he's run a lot faster than Nick Earle over 5K, and he's Nick Earle's run 2:14.
They're pretty similar over a half as well, I think. I'll look up Michael Roger's PB for a half. What'd you make Clifford, though? Could you believe he did that?
No, this shows the almost the freakish nature of Clifford, what his athletic capability is, to run 2:19:08, doing this like an absolutely crazy way.
I don't think he's ever run a half marathon, has he?
I don't know. Remember he ran 50? Was it 50K?
Yeah, just in COVID, he went for a run. Didn't he run every street in his neighbourhood or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, he has the ability to go long. This was a big shock. I mean, it's just a freakish run, really, that he's run 2:19:08. Like, it took me bloody 10 years to run under 2:20, and he's gone and done it, like, in almost like a sideshow, just pacing and then stopping and then jogging a bit. And he's an outstanding talent. Like, my immediate concern was, Jared, I hope you don't get injured or cook yourself from this, because we want you to win medals at the Paralympics. And you're doing a lot of racing and there's a lot of stress. Like, was it during the week he ran a 1500 and then he ran a 400, and yesterday he was racing in Melbourne and he obviously flew up to Canberra and then he raced a marathon all in a week. So, like, as a coach, like, I'm maybe a little bit conservative, thinking, I'd be a bit worried about the risks here.
And the weekend before Nationals and he just missed the final. Remember, it was really close. So that's five races in 9 days?
Yeah, including a marathon.
Including a marathon, yeah. And Michael Roger's ran 64:17.
Yeah, that's fast, 64:17.
Yeah.
I guess, like, it's great to see someone be a bit of a rogue sort of athlete, doing things that we've never seen before, or breaking tradition like that. But I want him on the start line at Tokyo as healthy as possible and in the best form possible. I really hope that this doesn't sort of set him back in terms of his Tokyo campaign.
Croaks, any comments before we move on?
Just in terms of the overall event, like, I'm sure AA didn't like expect it to sort of turn out this way in terms of like not having as many people run, and, you know, with Jess pulling out and things like that. But I like the idea of them putting on something every year that is like an elite marathon, where it's, you know, sub 2:30 for men, because if word got around and people knew 6 months out or a year out that this was going to be a regular thing, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it's something that those, you know, 235, 240 male marathoners could really aspire to be part of this event. So I hope something like this continues down the track. In terms of Rogues and Clifford's run, so Rogues, from what I read somewhere that, or maybe his interview, that he didn't feel comfortable really sort of kicking down that last 5K. I know the last few marathons, or pretty much all these marathons, he does have some issues with cramps from sort of 30K onwards. So that's something that he probably needs to work on a little bit, because there's no doubt based on what he's run over 5.5 and even the type of training that he's doing, like he's actually doing marathon training now, like big volume, big sessions. So there's certainly a faster time in him. And like, but for me, Clifford's run, like off no marathon training whatsoever, off no real long runs, and having raced 4 times already that week, like it's a great run, but I'm with you, Moose, like, and it may not be a popular view, and it's no criticism, but you know, this year it's an Olympic year. Tokyo's the important one. Like, I would be super, super conservative and wouldn't have, yeah, like I probably wouldn't have even let him pace to 36K at that pace based off the training he'd been doing. But, you know, he pulled it off, and hopefully, yeah, he'll be in one piece come Tokyo and he'll win the gold. Same with Rogues. But it's, I guess high performance, is it a high performance move? But, yeah. Anyway.
Well, we're on their team, and we want to see them do the best they can. So, yeah, it is. I mean, we're not the only ones asking these questions. Like, a lot of people go, oh, wow, he ran a marathon. And the immediate thought is, oh, shit, does this mean that he can still run in the Olympics?
We just know how many people get injured training for marathons, and we know the load that, like, a marathon takes out of you, even when you've trained for it. So, like, there's a lot of... And it's often the case that you get through the actual event, but then what happens a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the track? So I've got a feeling, based on some of the stuff I saw on Jared's social media, that like this was the end of his season. So he will have a break now, I'd imagine, before starting his Tokyo campaign.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully he has a real rest up and just sort of allow, like, respects the effort that he obviously put in, because it was a massive effort.
But yeah, I can't believe it. Like 2:19 off, like off no marathon training. It's incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, like, what he could do off proper marathon training is exciting, really, isn't it? Yeah,
like outside of that,
triple at the Olympics. Can he possibly do that at the Paralympics? Do the 15, the 5, and then go out to the road and win that?
Well, he's talented enough.
He kind of did it this week in a way.
Yeah, like, because other than his 50K that he did during COVID, like he would rarely run more than 2 hours. It's a phenomenal run.
Yeah, I had no words for it. Phenomenal. Let's go to the US. Two big results over there. First one, Ollie Hoare dominates the USATF Grand Prix 1500. He won that in 3:33.5. He jumped straight on the pacemaker for the first 800, then led the last 700. He beat Justin Knight, the Canadian, who ran 3:35.8, and Donovan Brazier, who was the world champ over 800 metres, I think, at Doha, wasn't he, Moose, with you? Did you see him?
Who's that?
Donovan.
No, 800 metre runner. Yeah.
He ran 3:37.5. So Ollie put, like, over 2 seconds into second. And then I did love the Instagram caption. He just said, making sure you're still paying attention. Did you watch this race, fellas? It was impressive. I love watching this guy race.
I didn't see this one, but you'll
love it.
He's a bit like Jai in that they just know how to win races. It doesn't matter who they're against. They just find a way to be able to do it. So it certainly puts him in the box seat now, I think, for a spot, because he just hasn't, like, outside of Albie Thomas, where that was ages ago now. He wasn't obviously in his best shape because he'd come back and quarantined. But outside of that, like, he has not had a bad run.
He faded a bit in that 5K. But if you're just talking about 1500s, And he just beats these quality guys he's beating by 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. This was at the new track as well in Oregon.
So does this change things in the selection process?
Oh, he's definitely, for me now, like he is in a spot, and it's for somebody like Ramsden or Gregson to come out and run faster than this. Because if they don't, I think Ollie will get the spot.
I still think they've got to run faster than his indoor time. His indoor time was quicker than this, and he's done this again outdoors and beaten quality people. Like, I think if they go to a Diamond League and run eighth and run 333.2, you're still picking Ollie Orr over that. Like, he dominates these races.
And I'd say this is like the start of Ollie's season again, because he had those good races and then I reckon he'd gone back and trained. And he'll have a few more races in the lead up to, I guess, the Olympic trials over there, which obviously he won't be competing in, but they'll have lead up races. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes even faster.
Yeah, these American guys, and we'll talk about Morgan McDonald now as well. He won the Drake Relay 5K 13:21. Like, these guys are just getting started, aren't they? Like, he'll have that 5K qualifying time on his agenda to knock off, and there'll be plenty of opportunities for him to do it, you think?
Yeah, and he closed real quick. Like, the last 600 was, I think it was
55 the last four.
Yeah. So he's in good shape.
Yeah. Your boy Moose, Morgan McDonald. It's been a bit quiet on the YouTube though. You guys notice that?
Yeah. People give him shit about it too.
Yeah.
Imagine concentrating on being a professional runner instead of your social media.
Yeah.
Hey, at least he'd jump on there and say that he wasn't going to be putting them up weekly, so it's better than just going missing completely. Mm. Also, another guy that raced over there in the US, like, it wasn't a standout race for him, but Charlie Hunter, guy that we thought may have come back for trials or the nationals, he ran an 800 at the same meet that Ollie ran. He ran 147.2. So it'll be interesting to see what he does as well over the next few months, whether he sort of sticks to the 8 or has a crack at the 15 as well.
Mm. And then this UK marathon crack, tell us about that one.
Yeah, so this was originally the Wrexham one, but then it got changed to Cheshire Elite Marathon. So Jake Smith, the young guy that paced the UK marathon trials, a month ago, he paced again. It looked like he paced anyway, but he continued and finished and won the race in 2:11 flat. Kiwi Callan Moody was second in 2:11.39, which, 9 seconds off the qualifying mark, the fact that he runs for New Zealand, they don't have three selected yet. So that's a shame for him that he missed it by only 9 seconds. And, Aussie Reece Edwards, who... yeah, used to live in Canberra and did a few long runs with him before Lake Biwa. He finished third in 2:14.44. So good result for him. And there was, just some other stats. 49 men under 2:30 or quicker.
Mm. Reid Williams there as well?
Was it Aif Cook was first in 2:28.36. Mayor Tiuri was second in 2:29.03. And Anne-Marie McGlynn was third in 2:29.34.
So nearly all under the qualifier there. And I think the first lady was Irish, so she'll make the team. So, yeah, because when I first saw this, I'm like, oh, the trials have already been. They've missed the opportunity. They've selected the team over there in the UK. But, that's what's going to happen there. Listen to question, Croaks.
All right. Hi, guys. I have a question about threshold training. What method do each of you use to work out your threshold heart rate and pace? Are you basing it off lab fitness tests or from your own heart rate observations during training? Also, how often do you review it? I hope listeners find this question interesting and helpful for their own training. Cheers, boys, and keep up the awesome work. You're by far the best podcast around for the serious runner, Dave from Old South Wales.
Thank you, Dave.
How are you, Dave?
Is Old South Wales a thing? Or is that a joke?
I don't know.
It's got to be a joke, surely. This is a funny question because I asked Joel how they go about their thresholding on our long run the other week at MTC. Like, how do you work out what to run? And Joel said that there's very few of them go by heart rate, so he runs to heart rate. He doesn't run with a group or anything. Like, he just purely goes off his heart rate. Stewie apparently doesn't wear a GPS or a heart rate, so he just runs off feel. Some of the others jump in the pack for as long as they can. Some go off pace. So it's very different, really. Like, that's just that group anyway. And they're probably all around running their threshold based off their experience level telling them or, like, guiding them as to what it should feel like. I think that's if you're an experienced runner, you get an idea of the type of perceived effort that threshold should feel like. I personally like to run my thresholds based off heart rate. I've only done it in the lab once, but I've run enough thresholds to know when my heart rate, when I go over my threshold, my heart rate climbs dramatically quickly. And that's a sign that you've passed, like, over your threshold and your perceived exertion goes well up. Whereas if I stay at a certain heart rate, say at around 172, then I can tick along there for a decent period of time with no real increases until late in the session. And so that's probably a good sign that's around where my threshold is. Ideally, you can get in the lab and get your actual data. And then you probably, if you're really into that and you want to use it, like, specifically, then you should probably be getting that done like once every 4 to 6 weeks. That's what I would suggest anyway.
Oh, that often?
Well, if you've got access to it, it's probably worth it, like maybe even every 6 weeks.
Haven't got mine done since like 2018.
Well, things change, mate.
Yeah, I still use the same rates anyway. No, I'm with you though. You get experienced. I do like the rule, like a pace you can hold for an hour. I like that. I often go on pace with my heart rate monitor on and then review it afterwards to check if I need to make a change to the next time. And like 9 out of 10 times, the heart rate matches up to the pace that we've chosen beforehand. But really, I kind of look at kind of like half marathon pace plus about 2 or 3 seconds per K when I plan it. But you know, and we've talked in our weekly recaps reviewing when things don't, like, they feel too hard. That's what you're talking about, Moose, with the experience. Like, you're just like, this isn't threshold today. Well, this is threshold and it's not meant to be threshold. So yeah, that's how I do it.
Yeah, for me, like, I think the problem with getting hung up on trying to hit a particular pace is, like, weather plays a massive part in this, especially, like, weather and also the course that you're running on. So if one day you go out and you hit 315s and it's 10 degrees and then, you know, your 315s is your threshold pace and then it's 30 degrees the next week, like, if you're running 315s that week, you're going to be cooking yourself. So, like, I generally also work on probably a pace that, so given the weather conditions, given the course, probably a pace that I could race an hour at, but it feels, but if I get to 30 minutes, like, I know that I wouldn't be able to hold it for an hour on that day, but it's, if I was in a race situation, I could hold it for an hour, but, you know, because I'm doing my thresholds for about 30 minutes, when I finish them, I'm like, well, I could probably do another 10 to 15 minutes. But I couldn't do the full hour because I'm just not in the same sort of state as what I would race at. But if you're on those sort of calculators and things like that, I reckon roughly the pace that you could hold for an hour at race pace. Yeah, but you're obviously only generally doing it for about 30 minutes.
Yeah, but that's flawed a little, I think, because I often hear someone say, oh, I finished the threshold, like 30-minute threshold, and gee, I was feeling a bit tired from it. I don't think I could have gone an hour, so it was probably wasn't my threshold. But I think if you're in the middle of a training block, you probably shouldn't expect to be able to run, like, that'd be the maximum effort possible on that day. I mean, like, so it would be almost like a race. So you'd want to have to taper going in. You'd want to prepare for it properly and everything. So I'm not sure, like, people can use that so much as, like, as a guide as such.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because a lot of it is depending on how where you are in your training block and what training you're doing and how fatigued you are. So, like, another way of looking at it might be like, all right, look at the calculators. What should you be able to run for an hour? And then when you factor in the fatigue of training and it's not a race, maybe add another 5 seconds a K. And that's probably closer.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
That's what I said, wasn't it?
No, what you said.
Half marathon pace.
You said half marathon. Yeah, yeah. 3 seconds but a K. this is where you just can't give everybody a blanket, because if somebody's running a half marathon in 2 hours, 2 and a half,
their threshold
pace is going to be a lot faster than their half marathon pace.
That's where that calculator comes in handy, though.
Yeah, and that's where you can't just give a blanket, oh, it's half marathon pace, because it is for people that are, you know, that are running a half marathon in close to an hour, but not for somebody who's running it in 2 hours.
Jeez,
good question, though.
I hope we've done it right there, Dave. It's a very common one, though, isn't it, threshold? What's it mean? How do you run at it?
I think the main thing is you don't finish it like you've finished a race. Like, it should be comfortably hard.
And always go easier rather than harder. Moose on the loose, purchase of the week.
Moose on the loose. Oh, yeah, I've seen a lot lately of people, and this is a COVID like hangover, I reckon. People running time trials on the track, but using their GPS instead of the 12 and a half laps for the actual distance. It's happening a lot lately. I'm seeing it up on Strava, and my initial thought was, oh, these guys, like, they're new to running, they don't quite get it. Like, it's an ignorance thing rather than a hey, I'm gonna like cheat this little 5K and get a better time or whatever. But it's happening more and more, and it's happening to runners who are running like 16 minutes. So if you're running 16 minutes, you're obviously experienced enough to know that 12 and a half laps equals 5,000 meters. And that's sort of what my run title alluded to the other day. And if you're seeing this yourself pop up on your Strava feed, don't be afraid to mention that. Hey, great run today. But just so you're aware, if you're running on the track in lane one, you have to run 12 and a half laps to make 5,000 meters. Because if everyone starts using their GPS on the track, soon it'll become the norm. And then anyone who's actually ever run an athletic race in their life is going to be totally ripped off. And it will just like disappear. And this is just me being so totally...
I hope it doesn't get to this, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you can see it happening. You know, GPS is taking over our lives. Strava is taking over. And so people go to a track, they don't want to count laps. They want to go off their GPS.
What about 1K reps on the track and you stop when you watch beeps for 1K? Same thing.
That's why you turn the auto lap off.
Do 2.5 laps.
Then do manual splits.
I'm with you, Craigs.
Two and a half laps is 1 kilometer. 12 and a half laps, that's 5 kilometers. That's all we need to know.
Only if you're in lane one, though,
this
Moose.
This is where it gets interesting. When they put those bloody gates up, though, remember? That's another Moose on the list.
I was going to comment, Moose. I knew what you're getting at. I'm like, well, it depends
what
lane you're in,
Moose.
What
happens if they were doing that, Moose? What happens if they were they couldn't run in lane 1 to 4 because they had the gates up?
There are no gates at the track that I'm looking at.
Oh, this is a local Geelong issue, is it?
It's happening more in Geelong than in other places.
Yeah, I haven't seen this for ages. Have you seen this, Brad?
No, I haven't.
It's a real Geelong thing.
I was trying to work out who it was referring to.
Yeah, so was I. I was waiting for him to drop a name.
So I've just gone onto lane one, 400 metres. I've just gone onto the Coros. And so you can go through. If you're running in lane two, it's 407 metres for a lap. Lane three is 415. Lane four, 422. Lane five, 430
metres. Oh, so with the new Coros, I could now go to Shepparton and do 1K reps in lane five.
You could. You just have to go into the track mode and then roll down and put lane five instead of lane one.
And then just stay in lane five the whole workout.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's going to be a lifesaver.
I know you would sneak that. You are the kind of bloke who will spend half the lap in lane one and zip out to lane five.
No, but you'll be able to see that on the Coros map because it's so accurate on the track.
I thought the track mode would only pull it in a... Would only...
I don't know. That's going to be so good. I'm going to be able to do track workouts again over there. More than 400 meter reps.
Imagine doing a big track work in lane five. That'd be awful. Mm.
The things you got to do in the country, mate. Things you got to do.
Yeah.
Don't all have access to nice tracks like you do down there. That's it. We're done. What's coming up? Australian 3K champs Thursday night.
3K champs? Yeah. Is that been thing? Always, that's a new thing.
No, I didn't. You come third at one year, didn't you, Brad?
I did.
Didn't Mottram and win Collar second? 2008.
Yeah.
Surely not.
No, no, it did.
Yeah. Haven't heard the story, Moose.
Do you want the quick story?
Mottram, Collis, Croker.
There was a Kenyan as well. No, there was a Kenyan that finished maybe second or third, but because obviously he wasn't Australian, he still got a medal. But then there was four of us on the podium. So yeah, out there with Bust. No, didn't get a photo. This is like pre-photo cameras on your phones and stuff. So it's a disappointment that I never got a photo. But the story to that was, I actually wanted to run the 1500, but didn't get the qualifying time. But I was able to run the 3K. And because it was an Olympic year, guys like Collis and Mottram had pretty much were already automatic. And so they decided to run the 3K at the champs instead of the 1500. And so I reluctantly went out there and, you know, did the 3K instead of the 15. And it was like those guys cleared out. And then there was like, I think maybe Josh Harris might have been in that race as well. There was like then a pack of like sub elites battling it out for this Aussie bronze medal, and I only ran like 8:26 to win it. Jeez. So there you go. I think they then scrapped it for about 10 years after that.
They're bringing it back though to Box Hill, isn't it? Box Hill Thursday night. Haven't seen start list yet, but hopefully they have a stream. Can't tell you who's there. I think Izzy Bat Doyle and Rose Davies, I saw that they were both trained in Melbourne, so they'll be sticking around for it, you'd think. But yeah, not sure about men's. That's about it.
Live stream at all?
You'd say so, wouldn't you? 3K? I don't know. Are Box Hill putting it on? Because Box Hill usually is live stream from there. But I guess it's Athletics Australia.
Aussie champs. Yeah.
Is it just one men's and one female's 3K race?
I think so, yeah.
Communication. Coming well from Athletics Australia here again. Hey, mate, we're done. What's going up in your life, Croaks?
Just back to some consistent training. Make a call about Sydney later in the week and hopefully reschedule my interview with Jai Edwards. I was meant to do that on Saturday, but on Friday I realised I was still probably not 100%, and the last thing I wanted to do was give a guy that's just qualified for the Olympics gastro. So I messaged him to say, can we push it back to another time? So that'll be, I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be a good chat, hopefully.
Put it on Patreon as soon as you give it to me. Yeah. Moose, what's going on with you?
I'm just training, mate. I just got a few injuries. You know, I'm just waiting for my next injury to deal with. So it arrived today, this afternoon. So
this week.
Yeah.
Shoe Geeks were back last week as well. That was good fun. I was watching that live.
Yeah, you tuned in live. That was a bit strange.
I wasn't doing much tuning in. I was just making sure the video was on the person's face when they were talking.
Yeah, you did good. I think people liked it. I might have to wake up early, have a shower next time.
Yeah, now you guys have got the camera on you. If you haven't heard it, seen it, it's on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be gone now, but we'll throw 20 minutes of Road to Nowhere from last week, Ali, Nick and Joel, to your ears now. See you, fellas.
See ya. Go the Bats.
The Bats, yeah. Doesn't matter if I don't come back. I'm the cover of my skin. I'll put on your names. If it's all the same, I'll keep on walking. I'm the cover.
Not yet.
Let me know.
Now.
Yep. Hey, guys. Welcome to episode 11 of the second season of Road to Nowhere. I'm Nick Earl, and it's taper time before my first marathon in 15 months. Welcome to my co-host, the 2021 Tokyo Olympian for the marathon, most likely Ellie Pashley.
Do not jinx me.
He puts most likely in the tiny little fine print. He was like, most likely.
Does Sam think Telford have any marathoners?
Yeah, Lisa.
Yeah, yeah, other than that. Any others that are going to suddenly sneak into Sydney on the...
Fuck off.
I thought you were joining Team Telford after Nationals.
He wouldn't be letting. He's not good enough.
Oh, all right. Well, that's definitely true. I'd go NTC because it's more possible than Team Telford.
Nah, not, not good enough.
Yeah, anyway.
I think Team Telford's a stepping stone.
Maybe we could do Nick as phone a friend and get Nick out to... to ask him what he thinks about Team Telford.
Exactly.
Get Dick Telford on. Yeah. Anyway, so looking at this unofficial start list I got sent by, probably shouldn't say, someone, there is only one woman on the list for Sunday, Ellie, and that's a New Zealander. So
yes,
looks like you will be the third fastest marathoner.
Well, the qualifying period's still open, so
until when?
Well, I think it's until the end of May.
So does that mean the New Zealand government reimburses the Australian government for like road closures and stuff for the women's race?
I know.
I think annoying the rowers at the gas in there. Yeah.
Poor old AA going to look pretty silly if a Kiwi girl is going to win the race, obviously, and then probably Caden a Kiwi Shields. Guy too.
Caden Shields, he's on the list. Yeah.
Or a British guy, of course, our friend Nick Earle.
Oh, that guy. Oh, I hear he's joining Film
Our friend. Can you please correct yourself to your friend, Ellie?
What do you reckon you'd have to run, Nick, to get into Team Telford? 212?
I'll ask him on our phone a friend section. anyway, welcome to my other co-host. Running is his life.
I was going
to
say. I would have.
He loves it.
Paying $1.01 for that fucking entry. My phone has been going off. My phone's been going off non-stop. Yeah, exactly. It's just been an abundance of messages, myself and Brett, and fuck, there's just no coming back from that, is it? It was I had a lot of. A lot of people.
It just ruined your whole "I hate running" vibe that you try and give off. Like,
I know
it's just gone.
So I've just like, I'm telling you, Brett is getting his comeuppance, and I'm going to spend the next 10 weeks like evil mastermind working out the best plan to bring him on and be like, "Nah, Brett, it's all good, man. Nah, yeah, just come on for a friendly chat." And he he signs in, and it is just off for 20 minutes. And I want to hear the tears hit the floor from him. No, it's fine. I'm going well. No, you can hear in my voice. It hasn't affected me at all, has it?
No, you're really relaxed. I like how relaxed you are. To be honest, Joel, I was pretty impressed with how fast you tried to cover it when you went, "Yeah, I saw Brett was in the room and me and Carl had a bit of a joke." Oh,
that was joking.
That was trying to make it so that I was making the joke again.
Exactly.
You know, like ahead of the humour, but it failed and I just had to accept
it. It was good, though, and I reckon if we didn't know you, that would have covered it.
I know.
Yeah.
You were onto me like a hawk.
Yeah, I know.
It would have been so good to hear live too. Like that would have he would have just been snickering away in his room here.
So Brett, funnily enough, you'll piss yourself at this. He was the moment it finished, I walked out, went straight to his bedroom. And I said, "What was that about?" Nah, what? But I said, "How was that?" And I go, "That was actually really good." I said, "Honestly, that will." And the listeners will love that. They will piss themselves. And he was like, "Yeah, it was good." He goes, "Well, how it started?" Because I was so, I don't know if it was because I was cooking dinner or what, but I was really disorganized. And just when I was bringing him on, I had no questions for him. I don't know. When it's your housemate, you're a little bit more relaxed. And then he even said, he's like, "I was fucking bored the first 10 minutes. Like I was sitting on my bed thinking, oh, here we go. I'm just retelling the story of what I'm going to be doing in Cairns and the marathon build up." And he's like, "Joel, you've told me this podcast is fun. This is really boring and this is shit." And then he goes, and in the space of 30 seconds, it was fucking off. And he goes, "I'm walking around my bed with my phone to my ear." Like he's like pacing up and down the hallway. He's going at it. It was fucking, he goes, it was just in the space of 10 minutes, it just went feral and it was just off. And I'm like, "Yeah, well, that's what we do on this podcast." So,
It was actually funny. You were very serious at the start when you asked him to talk about his plans leading into the Olympics.
Didn't that backfire? Yeah. I thought, I'm always the one fucking around. I might, I'm going to bring someone on and talk seriously. You know, maybe we'll just have a chat about running. And, yeah, that really, really turned sour. So
we were quite professional.
Don't worry. We've got some questions we can get him back with, Joel.
We most certainly do.
He doesn't know what he's in for.
Exactly.
He won't come back, though. That's it.
Oh,
that's it.
He'll be coming back.
All right. Well, we'll see in a few weeks' time. Okay. So I think Joel wasn't ready and you told me to go first, Ellie. So I'll go first this week.
So buckle up, everyone.
Buckle up.
45 minutes.
Buckle up. So I mentioned this last week. So on the Wednesday, I did the Earl's 60-minute fartlek. So this would be, how many days is that? 11 days out from the marathon. And this is 2 minutes on, 1 minute off to 45 minutes. And then you go into 1 minute on, 1 minute off. And you finish on an on, which I really like about this session. So the ons, I was running sub 3 minute pace for most of them, I think, just generally, and then really easing off for the offs, averaged 3:17s for the hour. So that's 18.3 kilometers, and I actually felt really good. So pretty happy with that. So the body was feeling good, and not long now. So, and then what do I do on Saturday? Cross country is on again in Hobart. So I just did this hilly cross country, 8 kilometers. So just treating it like a tempo, pretty hilly. Average 3:21s and it's off road, like all on trails and stuff. So yeah, that was pretty good as well. So,
did you try and hold anything back for that one or not really?
So we started off at the top of the domain where the track near where the track is. And then we run downhill for like the first 2Ks. So I was just going real easy down the hill to save the legs and then pushing up the hills. So and that seemed to work. DJ was there actually. So I was
DJ.
Thinking, oh, yeah, big grip. Big grin on his face. Make he's like, return. Yeah, man. Hey, Nico, bro. Yeah, I was just so good to see him. Massive grin on his face. And he was like, yeah, man, I'm running, man. And I was like, what are you doing, the 8K? And he's like, no, 4K for me today, man.
That bloke like, oh, speaks sweet. In emojis.
He does.
He like speaks in emojis. It's just all like.
He does in real life.
Prayer, smile.
Just a different facial expression.
He always calls me smile. Sister.
Does he? Oh, that's good as. I'm going to start calling you sister now. That's great.
He calls you sister.
Yeah, we're tired. That's awesome. DJ.
That's amazing. That's so good. But he was, he's making me laugh a lot, actually. So we were chatting away down the hill because he was doing the 4K, which was one lap, and I was doing the 8, which was two. So, and after I dropped him on the hill, but then him and this young guy sprinted past me for their sprint finish. And they went past me like just before the finish line. And I had to go do another lap. I was cracking up because they both like dived for the line and lying on the floor. It was so funny. It was so dramatic. I was like, that was excellent. Just for this ridiculously low key cross country, you got these two guys dipping so much on the line that they end up on the ground. Oh, that was great.
So is DJ back running properly?
DJ is, he's working on a construction site mainly. He was telling me all about this. So he's too tired to run, but he loves it. And his dream is to get another Aussie vest because he represented at the World Half in 2018, was that?
The
one in Wales, the Cardiff one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was, the Commonwealth Games one.
Yeah, no Aussies.
He ran really well there.
Yeah, he ran really well. There were no other Aussies ran well.
I don't think so.
For those who don't know, that's the one Jack won. Real 61 flat, wasn't it, John?
61.01. But holy shit.
Didn't he beat Chaptagai?
I don't think it was Chaptagai. Wasn't Cheptegei. It was Ugandans, but I didn't think it was Cheptegei.
No, Ali, you're getting confused with Kipchoge. Kipchoge came second.
I thought he did. Maybe I just...
Cheptegei, yeah. Really? I don't think so.
I'll have a look.
Because
how good when is he that did it.
He was like... That run was honestly one of the best runs he's ever... Like, that was just insane. Because then, like, a whole nother year later or half a year later, like, when he was in better shape, I reckon, he ran, like, 61.40 or 61.36 at Marigami. And it's like, even now, he is, like, a far better athlete than he was when he ran there. But it's like, in my head, I'm like, I wonder if he would go much quicker than 61.01.
Well, that
is that what he ran in that one, 61.01?
Yeah, and it's like
he had the V formation of the Ugandans. Like, yeah, he was just tucked sitting in the whole way.
If Brett can run under, if Brett can, yeah, nah, I reckon, you know, he has to, because otherwise I'd do myself a disservice. If I'm thinking he can't run that much quicker, then I'm like, well, how the fuck am I going to run 61? So, no.
Brett's run 61 quite a few times, hasn't he?
Just twice. He ran 61.01 and then he ran 61.36 at Marigami.
I guess there just hasn't been that many races.
Didn't he run 61 at Gold Coast too?
No way.
Sunshine Coast, he went the wrong way. Was that 62?
He ran 62.
Oh, no, he didn't beat Cheptegei.
No, he ran at Gold Coast, he ran 62.50, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Maybe even low 63. 62.40 maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, he actually beat Fred Musobo and Timothy Tororotich.
Oh, them! I'm ringing them both for phone a friend this week. So
I don't know why I thought Cheptegei was in that race, but
I know why, because you're a fucking idiot. That's why.
I was going to go for the racist thing, but yeah, right. That's
I know, it does. It does seem racist. Yeah. I don't think all Ugandans are Cheptegei.
All right, we'll get Brady to cut that.
Brady, yeah, cut right. That one.
Anyway, so that was good cross country. Body felt really good, actually. The next day I was easing off my Sunday run, and then Bailey Merzeki Hintz, pulse.com.au or whatever it
is. Pulserunning.com.au.
Pulse running.
We're allowed to ambush market this podcast as much as possible because you, Ali, it's unfair. You get the main podcast ambushed, so with Julian. So, you know.
It's fair enough.
No, Run to PB are always ambushing that one, those fuckers.
Yeah.
Wow. But anyway, Bailey was told by Collis that his Sunday runs have been too slow running with the boys. So he was like, all right, let's go and do a separate one. So we did a hilly 24Ks out at Sorel, which is just past the airport. And it's a beautiful spot on dirt roads, nice and hilly. So, that was 24.5K at 4:17. I think we went up about 350 meters or something. It was body felt really good, actually. So, yeah, week out. Normally, I'm kind of feeling like niggles are creeping in actually now, because I hardly did anything yesterday. Did like 6K yesterday. I've done 10K today. And just like the body started to feel like I'm getting like niggles. Like, I don't know.
That always happens in marathon week, though, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Always think I have a stress fracture or something.
They're like the mental niggles. Sure.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
where
I'm
my
a bit
stress
sore
reaction
there.
Was. That started aching last night when I was in bed. And then I was stressing out. But, like,
that's just a race week stress fracture. Don't worry about that.
I'm running anyway, even if it is.
The tip is, I've heard, Nick, with that sort of stuff, like, because the main stresses come when you're in bed. So I've heard, like, the best way to avoid that marathon week is just never go to bed the 7 days into the race.
Sounds good, yeah. I'll tell you what I did get, some beetroot juice. So,
I had about four people message me asking if this is the right beetroot juice from that place. And I thought, fucking hell, I should be getting some sort of promo deal with that.
I was thinking that when I
use the code Joel15.
Yeah, use the code, yeah.
Yeah, I bought it off beatit.com.au, and it's like, I think it comes out $3 a shot. So, I was, but then I was like, well, maybe I should just ask them if they're going to send me some, and I'll plug them for this on the podcast because everyone else tries to sell shit on it.
Well, funnily enough, when I went, I rang a guy in South Yarra and I said, it was just before one of my races. I'm like, hey, do you have the beat it shots? I need about 10 before this race. And he goes, oh, mate, you won't believe it. He goes, there must have been a podcast or something come out a week ago or 2 weeks ago because it just totally sold out. And I remember I had actually mentioned it on the podcast 2 weeks ago, but there's no way it could have been out.
No,
there's no way because it doesn't have enough listeners. But I thought, isn't that funny? Just coincidentally, another, you know, probably health food podcast with a million listeners must have talked about it at the same time.
I don't know, but if we've got a few niche runners who are, like, you know, keen to do those 1%, then maybe. I don't know.
I don't think we got the number. Not to sell out a whole store. Like,
yeah, but how many do they have?
That might have only been 5 people.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, all buying, like, a box. Or Beat It did, like, free postage for, like, 4 boxes. So, like, 60 shots.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, I don't know. For like a, yeah.
Well, I told the guy the story was my podcast anyway, regardless. So, yeah. Nah, did not.
Yeah, we've got like 2 million listeners. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you say? Is it, it's better for shorter, faster events, isn't it?
Well, that is from absolutely zero scientific knowledge other than Brett telling me that. So I don't want to back that up. And especially after being absolutely bullied from Julian. Well, not bullied. He can't bully me. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's like fucking Cambodia trying to go up against the army of China and say they're going to win. But he told me.
That's an odd reference, right?
He told me, you know, my comment about the water on the head. He's like, I hope you aren't fucking telling your pulse athletes that. That is complete bullshit. And then I was arguing with him about it, and he's like, nah, there's no fucking way. I'm going on and off about it. So now it has made me think maybe I need to, if I ever get back in VIS, I'm going to go ask the sports scientist and say, hey, is that information you told me still valid? Or
probably not. Go on to Google Scholar, have a look at the peer-reviewed research.
Yeah.
It's so funny though, because like as a climate scientist, I would never believe a blog or from something someone said.
Yeah.
I'd always check the source. I'd always go on to like, you know, proper journals and have a look. Whereas when it comes to running stuff, yeah, something Brett just says, I'm like, yeah, that must be true. Yeah. completely just get sold. You know,
so true, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And when people explain things and it makes sense in theory, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, Joel was saying it so like confidently that it's really hard to go against.
When do I
someone.
Ever say anything without confidence? That's my problem.
Yeah. But the thing is, yeah, when someone, it's like, I read this book about like introverts and about how they get dominated by idiots, but who are really kind of confident.
Yeah.
And it's just, it happens in America all the time in business. You got these idiots, but they think
Trump.
They're right.
It's like Trump versus like Trump. Everybody else. Yeah.
Just because he thinks he's right. So he sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And that's exactly what you were doing last week, Joel. And I was sold. I was like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And then
but what you guys didn't really know, like, went in a full loop, and I actually knew it was complete bullshit, but I wanted you to not put hot water on yourself so you'd embarrass yourself. Hot water. Oh, I just fucked it.
Just why leave him, Ellie. Water? Leave him. When he goes on these shit tangents, just leave him.
Just let him
go. I've got to laugh. That's all.
That's just annoying when Ellie laughs, does a sympathy laugh. Anyway,
Ellie, I'll transfer you $50 for that one. Thank you.
Yeah, all right. So that was 140.9 Ks for the week.
That's good.
How are you feeling aside from your stress fracture?
Yeah, stress fracture. My left hip has been, it's worse than it's been in months now because of
another stress fracture.
Fracture of the hip. And because I was wearing my Hockers today because of the stress fracture in my foot, I've got a stress fracture in my sacrum like everyone else. So, like, yeah, it's just all going on. But, that 6Ks really fucked me up yesterday.
Are you antsy yet or not really?
So I'm flying up to Sydney tomorrow, staying with some friends in Newcastle for a few days. Yeah, I just kind of got tons of like teaching stuff to do. So I've been really busy like last couple of days, which is like,
that's probably good.
Stop me from being, yeah, exactly. So when people start going, like telling me stuff about the race, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know. Like, or asking me stuff. I'm like, yeah, I have no idea. No idea about anything. I haven't checked.
No idea. I'm an academic. Do you know how many people I have to teach right now? Shut up.
Exactly. 200, Joel. Yeah. Wow.
That's ridiculous. That's almost the amount of people I coach.
Can you imagine them all listening to me though, Joel? And I mark their exams. It's like, if I had Joel Tobin White, his exam to mark. Oh.
You have two people here hardly listening to you, let alone
They have to listen to me because anything can go in the exam, Joel. Basically, I'm gonna give you two an exam about my training.
Oh God. Better get off Insta. Are you like a fun lecturer or are you really serious?
What do you think?
I think you think you're fun and you're the most boring. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Nah,
you're wearing my socks and sandals.
You'd be good. You'd take the piss out of people. Can you do that? Or
not maybe? Really. But the thing is, I take the piss out of myself though.
Still. Yeah, like, that's good.
Just kind of, and also,
I'd love to fucking sit on one of your lectures.
Oh, so my friend Maxie, when I was giving a lecture in Melbourne, he came in and he didn't just sit at the back. He sat front and center. And he got his like notepad out and had a massive grin on his face. Holy shit, that was hard to concentrate. He was just right there, just massive wide grin on his face. Like, and he was it was so distracting. I was like,
after class, you look and he's just drawn like a, you know, still life naked painting on
him. But the thing is, like, he was like, I actually ended up having to say to the class, sorry, this is my friend Max. He has just come into, like, I had to mention it because I kept looking at him and like, almost laughing. And it was getting really obvious. It was terrible. But anyway, like, and he asked loads of questions after the lecture. It was like, Max, just...
Yeah, can you turn around? Can you show me the left side of you?
People that ask questions at the end of the lecture are so annoying.
I quite like it though, to be honest, because if they're the ones who actually listened and were kind of engaged, so that's it is actually quite good, as long as it doesn't go on for like hours though, because sometimes
hours. All the mature age students and everybody else wanted to go and they would just continually ask questions.
When they're older than me, they find it really hard to listen to me, like the mature students. Like, it's just, I'm just like, yeah, I have done a PhD in this. I do know more than you, boomer. Like, it really is irritating.
Ali's sitting in the back with her hair slicked back with her Pashley bomber jacket on, spitballing all the people asking questions.
Pashley bomber jacket.
Fucking look at this loser.
Wow, what was that? Was that Italian? Know,
sort of like a Greece, you know? Like, I'm just thinking.
Like, am I Danny Zuko?
Oh, Danny Zuko. Yeah, you're Danny Zuko, you know? You're like,
look at all these squares.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, I actually have a serious question for you. Surprise, surprise.
Go on.
One thing I feel like we have not heard from you, or you definitely have spoken about, and I've had my ears shut. But we haven't really talked about your nutrition on the day and like training with nutrition. Obviously, 1 week out, like, what's your plan? Gel wise, drinks wise? Like, I haven't really heard you talking about training with drinks. Maybe you had, like, this would be so funny if you go, mate, I've been talking about that every week and I'll just be pissing myself. But in my head, I feel like you haven't really addressed what you're going to be doing on race day.
So after Biwa, I did a few marathons just like to get like experience in doing marathons. And like, because I recover quick. So I did like Canberra, Great Ocean Road, Cadbury and one in Toronto. So the point of doing like, and Sunshine Coast as well, actually, where I paced Lisa to a record, Ellie.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, she was salty at me after that. Oh, dear
I wasn't
me.
Salty after that.
You, Sinead, so
that's not what you told me, Ellie. No,
when you guys went, I tried to go with you and I couldn't.
Well, that's why. But yeah, but then
I was cooked.
But then, Sinead goes, "You're a slay dog." Afterwards, I was like, wow, jeez, I'm in trouble here.
Did she really say that?
Yeah, she when we were in the in that surf club, Ellie, afterwards having beer.
Yeah.
She just came up to me and was like really aggressive, really Irish. I was like, holy shit, I'm gonna get beaten up.
No, so, she was messing around.
Yeah, all right.
She did say sly dog were her words though, I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so the point of doing them was to practice nutrition and like, I was running because I was solo for all of those races. Like it was kind of, I knew it'd be more of just practice for like proper one. So yeah. I sort of did experiment a bit and ended up just like, yeah, doing what I'd do is have Hydrolite in some of the bottles, half the bottles, and then have a gel mixed with a bit of water in the other ones.
Yeah.
So I was doing the SIS gels, the orange flavor. But now I've gone on to Morton, which it seems really awesome. It's so clean. Do you have Morton? Have you had it before?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with it. So I'll be having, I think if we've got 8 drink stops, which I think there might be, I'll have Hydrolite probably 5, 15, 25 and 35, and then like have gels in the other ones, I think.
Do you like the gels, not the drink mix?
So I think, what do you mean? Is there a Morton drink mix, you mean?
Yeah, there's Morton drink mix or Morton gels.
Yeah, I'll have the gels, whether I'll mix them with water, I'm not sure.
Who said drink Nick's? And I was like, why did you say his name in plural when? I was like finishing the question, you're like, well, do you have the drink Nick's? I'm like, what?
That's my new name, Joel's.
What's going on?
Yeah, so I think I'm not actually sure how many drink stations there are, but I'll just bring a ton of like Hydrolite and Morton. Yeah, and then work it out closer to the day, I guess, once I know exactly where the drink stops are.
Probably every lap if it's a 5K loop.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know if it's I think it's 5.3K or something for the loop. Yeah, so yeah, I think they'll just do one every lap. So that'll be 7, maybe. I'll probably have a gel on the start line. That's what I've done a few times, and that seems to work pretty well. I've never actually stuffed up a marathon before, so... Like Toronto was a real positive split, but I still ran 2:18 low, which isn't a disaster. So yeah, I think
you've never had any nutrition issues or bonked or anything.
Nah, not properly. The last 10K in Toronto was like 35 minutes, and I felt horrendous. But I didn't compare to how other people blow up. When they end up running like 3 hours or something. Just like have to walk for a bit and stuff. I've never gone near that. So yeah. The thing is, I've seen people stuff up their drinks, just completely miss the bottle. In Japan, there was a guy I was running with. He missed every single drink and I got every single one of mine, and he bonked and ended up like, he was running with me until like Moose caught up, and then he ended up running like 2:18, I think, whereas me and Moose ran 2:14. So he took 4 minutes out of him in the last 10K, and it's because he wasn't hydrated. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's just, yeah, crazy. I've never stuffed it up. So first time for everything.
So what's your race plan? Do you want to share it or?
Yeah, I think Dave Ridley's got the same race plan. Go out in 67:30 and then see how you're going. So if I can do that and a negative split, that would be awesome. I'm not sure if I'm in that kind of shape, but if I can go through in 67:30 and feel okay and then run sub 2:16, I'll be happy. Anything outside 2:16 will be, kind of annoying. But then my second fastest ever marathon is 2:18 low, the Toronto one. So wow. If I get the second fastest marathon, I'll be, not super happy, but all right. But if I go outside 2:18, I'll be what was the point in that kind of thing?
Really pissed off, yeah.
But then it's
so kind of the conditions bad. Look good.
Conditions do that. We might have a southerly creep in, and the thing I'm worried about, they're starting at a 7, which to me is a stupid idea because that's exactly what's been wrong with Gold Coast, like for years. You know how they start at like 7:30.
Yeah,
don't, yeah.
Not this year, 6 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why people are getting excited about Gold Coast, is because it's on at 6 a.m. Whereas
not me anymore.
Are you?
Oh, that's a goof.
Anyway, so yeah, I'm going to try and get them to start at 6 because, I mean, I doubt they will now because they've written it on the Athletics Australia website or whatever. But like, if it's going to be sunny, the sun comes up at 6:30. So by the time it's like 9:20, that's going to be warm if the sun's out. So yeah, I don't know. I think they should start it at 6 and give us a, you know, the best chance possible. But overall, it will still be, the worst case scenario will be, it'll be about 18 degrees by the time we finish and sunny, which,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it says at 11 it's only going to be 19 and 8 kilometers an hour of wind.
Yeah, but it just makes a huge difference that, like, getting this direct sun on you.
8 a.m. is 12.